We'll start with on the care of feeding of children. It is always a concern in society, and the concern ticks upward a bit when state legislatures gather to do their business. The Oregon legislature has input from many groups outside of state government on the needs of children. Those include Children's Institute, based in Portland and focused on the needs of children up to age 8. Let's talk about areas that need attention and funding and have gotten some in recent legislatures with Callie Thorne-Ladd, the CEO of Children's Institute and previously the co-founder of Kairos PDX. Callie, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And on anniversary, I notice, congratulations on reaching 20 years. For people who don't know, sketch out the work of Children's Institute.
Well, Children's Institute is really focused on making Oregon the best place to be a kid. And we have a mission to leverage research, practice, policy, and advocacy to shift systems towards justice for children. We're focused on children birth through grade 5, actually. And our vision is really to ensure that children have the love, care, and education they need to thrive.
Birth through grade 5, because those are the where you make the greatest difference?
Yeah, well, it's where the brain is, makes the greatest difference. It's an upstream solution and preventative for a lot of other issues. But the brain is growing most acutely and rapidly during those years. So if you can have a positive impact during those years, you definitely stave off challenges later on.
We get multiple reports from multiple agencies and organizations on the state of children. What's your general assessment of the well-being of Oregon kids at the moment?
I'm concerned about them, to be honest. I think the pandemic and a lot of other events, wildfires, they had a deleterious or negative impact on children. And we need to support them. Children are able to be resilient when they have loving and caring adults in their life and they're in communities that are supporting them and helping them feel seen and valued. But the last few years have been rough on children, and young children don't always have the words to articulate the impacts, but their emotions and their experiences are definitely felt and registered in the brain.
That takes some expertise, I would think, to assess the fact that there are problems with kids when they are not up to really describing the situation they're feeling.
Yeah, and that's why we see increases in behaviors in preschools and in kindergartens. That, you know, that's a manifestation often of trauma and stress in the brain. And so the children are not bad. Children are, you know, I think, born curious and gifted and have so many wonderful assets, but their experience dictate how they express themselves. And because they don't always have words, it manifests itself in big behaviors and emotional outbursts. So we're seeing an increase of those in preschool classrooms and K-5 elementary schools. And I think it's a direct line to sort of the stress of the last few years.
You mentioned pandemic and wildfires, but, you know, kids are not unaware of other things going on around them, like political strife and higher crime rates in some neighborhoods. And I wonder if those percolate into their knowledge and their concerns, too.
100%. Yes. I think there was a lot in the last couple of years. And I think for children of color, all that's happened at our borders and with the Black Lives Matter, and just the televising of things that are sort of attacks on different groups of people. A young child looks at that and wonders if that means they're in danger too, and they might feel threatened.
You know, I was thinking about the televising aspect of that. I mean, parents used to be able to just turn the TV off and the kids wouldn't know much about stuff. But in the internet age, it seems like it's that much harder to try to shield children from tough information.
It's very difficult. I'm also a parent, and it feels like an impossible task compared to when I was growing up. It's very challenging. And so, you know, parents have to talk to their children maybe earlier than they would otherwise about really difficult things. And it's hard to know always how to approach things in a way that is age appropriate when you're a parent, when you're not trained to do so. But, you know, children aren't born, despite the polarizing politics of our day, children are not born with those biases and those opinions that are shaped over time. And so I think there's a huge opportunity to build a culture of inclusion, because children are oriented towards that naturally. And so that's part of why I have so much hope in children. I think children want to connect with other people, and I think they are part of the solution of what is dividing us as a society.
Kelly Thorne Ladd is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, CEO of the Portland-based Children's Institute, focused on children from birth through fifth grade. And we're talking about legislative priorities, and you can join in with your emails at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Kelly, what are the biggest shortfalls? What would you say are the biggest aspects of life for kids that need the most attention at the moment?
One of the impacts of the pandemic was economic, and I think children that were already low income are feeling the effects of the pandemic more acutely. So it had a disproportionate impact on low income children. I think children whose parents are working frontline jobs where they weren't able to take any time off, where they were in the fire, so to speak, and so. The impacts of that, we see an increase in poverty, we see an increase in crime, as you said, we see increases in homelessness. So all of the things that that are societal have an impact on children. I think we talk a lot about social-emotional well-being, because behavioral health and just children being okay is something that they're grappling with. And so, again, with young children, it's very different than adolescents. We do see increases in anxiety with 7-8-year-olds. We see increases in depression. We sadly even see increases in suicide with young children. And so, again, Harvard's research on the developing child looked at what are the things that build resiliency with children. And all they need is one caring adult in their life. It can be a parent, but it can be a teacher. It could be a neighbor down the street or a grandparent. Doesn't have to be family, but that one adult makes a lot of difference to children being able to overcome the hardships they face. I think the food insecurity is a big deal, and we have to ensure that our food banks and all of the different resources, whether it's church communities or other communities that are trying to get food to children, that's huge as well. So social, emotional, behavioral health is a piece, and I think just basic needs is another.
It's not like the Oregon legislature has the ability to basically hire a caring adult for each child. And yes, there are many out there. I'm not trying to be flip here, but how can that get expressed through spending and allocation of resources at the legislature? And they did plunk some money on this in the last session, the short one last year, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, yes, they did. But it's nice to see the increase in the multi-billion-dollar budget that is education. Only less than $700 million is focused on early childhood. So proportionately, early childhood spending is quite small. And there was a $62.5 million increase for early learning programs. And some of those programs include Preschool Promise, which is expansion of preschool. You know, children being able to not be at home and to be in a loving, caring environment does make a difference. It's developmentally good for children. They're able to learn and play, but also puts them with other peers and, allows their parent to work. So that's important, a parent's to work. And of course, it's a choice that families make, but research shows that access to preschooling improves overall child well-being. So I think that's important. We saw an increase in investment in things like healthy families and nurse family partnership programs that are home visiting programs, and that has a huge impact. Sometimes that's the adult that comes in and makes a difference for children. The Early Learning Council, I've had the privilege of serving on the Early Learning Council now for several years, and that's the policy body that oversees early childhood for Oregon. And we're looking at having universal home visiting. So no matter who the child is, they can have access in the birth to 3 years to a home visitor, which I think is huge for moms and for families and for the babies. It's not income dependent, which the research shows. All children deal with stress. Definitely there are more acute issues if you are living with extreme poverty. However, the way the brain registers stress for the child, if the parents are getting divorced, that can be as much of a stressful factor in their life than not having the meal that they need. So children don't differentiate like that, like, oh, that's a harder stress. And so having the support for families is important for all families. We also saw an increase in $41.3 million increase in employment-related daycare. That's a subsidy that helps low-income families have access to preschool and childcare. That's really important. There's an increase in for relief nurseries. Relief nurseries deal with a lot of children who are most vulnerable, children who have been impacted by the child welfare system, who might have a parent in prison. And so they're just such healing places for children. And if you've never gone to a relief nursery, I encourage you to do so. I wish we had more of them in our state. But they are doing amazing work to support some of our most vulnerable children. And we saw an increase in early intervention, early childhood special education. So children that are autistic or may have learning disabilities, they, additional investments for them, which is very much needed. So, you know, I'm optimistic. I think we're moving in the right direction, and investing in these supports will make a difference.
But Callie, is there a much bigger investment still required to close that final gap, to get to a place where everybody who wants to put a child in preschool can do so, and that they also can be able to afford quality child care so that they can go to work and bring the family up a bit?
Yes. We have a substantial need for investment to get to that place where everyone who wants the preschool or child care can have it. And certainly every county in Oregon is a child care desert for children birth to age 3. And all but 3 counties are child care deserts for preschool. So that means 30% or less access to child care. So that's a huge issue in our state, and we have a ways to go. We were hopeful that the federal government was going to invest in early childhood. That would have made a difference and gotten us closer to that goal of universal access, but that didn't happen. What's interesting is there is bipartisan support for this still, and so I'm hopeful that we don't have the resource in Oregon to fund it on our own. We would need substantial investment, and so...
So it would have to be federal money, you're saying?
I think so, yes, or we'd have to change our tax system, which I know is very controversial. So, yes, but the fact that there's more, I would say, bipartisan support for something like that than other issues in education gives me hope.
All right, so you mentioned the list of things that came out of the last legislative session. You've had a chance by now, I think, to see the governor's budget approach for the next biennium starting July 1st. A lot of housing, and then everything else. I mean, what do you see in the everything else that gives you either hope or concern for the next budget as it is shaped out?
Oh, well, so I was actually sharing this session.
Okay, yeah, all right.
and there's more. I mean, that we actually, Children's Institute put forward a request for an early childhood infrastructure fund. So part of the challenge with expansion is we don't have the facilities and we don't have the workforce that we need to expand with fidelity. So we are asking to build, to have a fund that allows for communities across Oregon to build the child care infrastructure they need. In some cases, it's an elementary school adding on a preschool. In some cases, that's, you know, early, I had a chance to visit the Baker County Early Learning Center, which is beautiful. If they want to serve more children, they would need to add on. So we're looking at sort of both projects that are building new, but also remodeling or adding on to existing infrastructure. And this fund would make it possible for communities around the state to do so. And so we're really excited about that. And the governor actually allocated $110 million for this. Businesses, there are large businesses like Tillamook Cheese that are hearing from their employees in the community, we need more child care facilities. And so you have some private sector folks saying, hey, we want to be part of the solution and we want to invest, but showing that the government is also willing to invest and have a public-private partnership to increase infrastructure is huge. And I think... wow, there's a lot of other things. I think I talked about home visiting. There's $5.9 million for to get us to the universal place. And home visiting takes a lot of different forms, but that is a wonderful step in the right direction.
You mentioned access to home visits. I mean, would it necessarily be, would people necessarily have them? They're not required, it sounds like, but they could certainly opt for them?
Yes. That every person can opt for them. And it comes in different forms. Healthy Families is a large home visiting program. I mentioned Nurse Family Partnerships, which is a partnership with, you know, the hospitals. So there's community health workers. that have been really successful, particularly in Latino communities. So there are different types of home visiting programs, but the idea is that a mother, or, you know, father as well, but moms in particular, as like the carrier of the child, have an opportunity right after a child is born to access home visiting, which, as a parent myself, my kids are older now, but, you know, that would have been a wonderful thing to have access to.
Right. Okay. Well, definitely keep an eye on developments things get added to Oregon's child care system. Obviously, some ground still to cover, as we're learning from Callie Thorne Ladd, the CEO of Children's Institute based in Portland. Thanks for joining us to talk about legislative priorities with children in Oregon and the need.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. This is the JX short break, and then we'll back to talk about sea otters. Stay by.